Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And let's be real about this. It's insane that we haven't raised the retirement age in the United States. It's totally crazy.
This is Wretched Radio. Ben Shapiro done stepped on a landmine when he suggested, no, he didn't suggest, he just flat out said it. Retirement at the age of 65, it is downright, air quote, stupid. Let us listen to Ben Shapiro and see, first of all, if he makes his case, is his argument actually powerful? Or is there a better way to discuss this subject? Second, can Christians bring something better to the conversation about retirement? Do we possibly, with our holy book that's sufficient for all of life and godliness, have anything to say about this subject? And then third, let's talk about you and your retirement. Take it away, Ben.
If that were the case, Joe Biden should not be running for president. Hey, Joe Biden is 81 years old. The retirement age in the United States, at which you start to receive Social Security and you are eligible for Medicare, is 65. Joe Biden has technically been eligible for Social Security and Medicare for 16 years, and he wants to continue in office until he is 86, which is 19 years past when he would be eligible for retirement. No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem.
Oof. Jimmy, where exactly does Ben Shapiro stand on the subject? Is he kind of lukewarm about? No, he's rather emphatic.
Yep.
Retirement at the age of 65 is stupid. Now, I will say this. His point about Joe Biden, I'm not sure how that supported his argument, because the issue still is, who gets to determine when we retire?
Everybody that I know who is elderly, who has retired, is dead within 5 years. And if you talk to people who are elderly and they lose their purpose in life by losing their job and they stop working, things go to handbasket real quick. But
before he gets to his butt, let's just say that that's true. Let's say that he is citing some sort of statistical model that says you retire at 65, you're dead by the time you're 70. I still would ask the question, yeah, so that's the individual's decision. The question remains, should we be retiring at the age of 65? What does the Bible have to say about it? What is a fully formed Christian perspective on the subject of how we're supposed to be spending our golden years? This is Ben's take.
Put all of that aside, just on a fiscal level and on a logical level. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt established 65 as the retirement age, the average life expectancy in the United States was 63 years old. Today, the average life expectancy in the United States is close to 80. It's totally insane that you believe that you should be able to work from the time that you are essentially 20 to the time that you are 65, which is a 45-year period, pay in, and then you will receive Social Security benefits sufficient to support you and your family, you and your wife or whatever, for like another 20 years. That's crazy talk.
Nah. Is that a potent argument that it's fiscally irresponsible? And I think the answer is, yeah, that actually has some power to it. Because if the government doesn't have enough money to pay out for it, how is this getting paid? And if we're putting in less than what we're taking out at the end, that tab just keeps running up. Now, to a degree, I think Ben has a bit of an argument, but I'd still like to suggest there's a much more potent argument that we can make regarding the subject of retirement.
That is not fiscally sustainable. The notion that if you have to raise the retirement age to 67 or 68, that everyone is going to fall apart. My parents are that age. My parents are not retired, and they shouldn't retire. It would be very bad for them to retire. By the way, it's disrespectful to people who are 67, 68, 69 years old to suggest that they are in the same shape as people who are 65 were in 1940. It's not true at all. Have you met a 65-year-old lately? 65-year-olds are not old in the United States. They're not. 68-year-olds are not old in the United States. Again, Joe Biden thinks he's not old, and that dude is running for president again, and that dude actually is old, and he's 81. I fail to see how a country in which our entire leadership class is 80 plus is telling you that we should have a retirement age of 65. It makes no sense at all.
Ben Shapiro. Yeah, he got a little kickback on that. The question remains, should a Christian retire? And we've got to go, of course, to our source book for that question, and that is the Bible. Here's what it says. Nothing. It doesn't tell us whether we should retire. So we then need to move away from seeking explicit Bible verses to looking at implicit Bible verses to ask the question, do I get to retire? And I think that you will find some implicit Bible verses. For instance, God is a working God, therefore we work. That is what we see immediately in the garden. We see, of course, modeled all throughout the Old Testament that people worked. Did people ever get to the point where they were so infirm they couldn't? Of course. And family took care of them. But we see Jesus modeling work. We see Paul running the race to the end with no mention of retirement. So as Christians, we, I think, can conclude that God leaves it an open-ended question for each believer. Whether or not you continue working at the factory, punching in, punching out, collecting a paycheck, I believe biblically that is totally up to each individual. Social Security aside, the fiscal irresponsibility of that Ponzi scheme aside, all of that aside, the Bible just doesn't say that you should or shouldn't retire, and therefore I wouldn't be willing to make a law about it. If the government wants to do that, so that's up to the government. But just because the government says retire at 65 doesn't mean we have to. Let's let each Christian, based on their own conscience, make that decision. Having said that, where do we see that a Christian is to stop working 9 to 5 and then playing all the time? And I don't see that even being hinted at anywhere in the Bible. Instead, I see that we are to continue being image bearers, to work. And if you have the ability to retire at the age of whatever you choose, well, praise God for that, but I don't think that lets you off the hook of work. Instead, I think you're supposed to be treating that retirement like being single. What's the advantage to being single? You got free time. You're not raising a kid. Therefore, what is the encouragement of Paul? Get to work. Serve the body. You can do all kinds of things for your local church. And when you retire, guess what? You no longer have a 9-to-5 commitment. You have all kinds of time that could be employed in the service of eternal things. You can get on it. You can be working at the church. You can be volunteer. You can be praying. And this is going to whoop and wharf as the years go by and you're less able to. But it seems the Bible is pointing toward you never get to retire. You can stop working that job, but you never get to quit working unto the Lord. And that brings me to a conversation that I had on Sunday night with some dear friends in Texas. I think they're deep in the heart of it. For years, they have been working with young marrieds. This is what we would esteem to be an older couple. They've been bringing in young people into their home to mentor and disciple them. Once too many kids started showing up, they started taking it to the church so that babysitting could be provided for the kids and they could do some adult marriage talk. And I'm fascinated by it. And I'm a little bit, in a sense, disheartened by it and yet hopeful about it. Frio, would you tell us what you're talking about? How's about this for an idea? How's about we start actually enlisting our seniors into actively discipling younger people, actively promoting it, bringing people into your house, modeling it, whether it's a woman with a young lady, an older man with a young man, couples counseling, let's start encouraging older people. You want to quit working? That's your call. But you ain't done with your labor for the Lord, and we've got a job for you to do. And I wonder if a lot of seniors wouldn't rejoice at hearing, we want you. We don't want you on the sidelines. We don't want to relegate you to nothing. We want your wisdom downloaded into the lives of these young people. And we start creating programs. We start creating structures, frameworks, opportunities, and we start cultivating the idea, if you're old and you don't have to go to work every morning, you ain't done working. And we're going to plug you in. And we're going to get you involved. It's funny that the seeker-sensitive trend, it's always after the young folks, got to appeal to the kids. Okay, well, that's a nice goal. But what about the other end of the spectrum? What about the people who still know that they should be working unto the Lord? Question, is it possible that maybe your church has been overlooking a labor pool for far too long? Methinks we have. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today, and thank you for investing in our ministry. I want to ask you if you would go a step further. We need more ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partners because we rely on our supporters to produce all of these resources that reach millions with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus commissioned us at the end of Matthew 28 to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations in every corner of the earth, we are asking if you would join this work by helping us to saturate this culture with the hope of Jesus Christ. We promise faithful stewardship with every single gift. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to take our word for that. You can check behind us by checking out the ECFA. We are ECFA certified. 83% of every dollar given to this ministry goes directly to the work of ministry. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get personal. I want to get personal. That's kind of catchy, if you don't mind me saying. This is Wretched Radio. Let's talk about you and what your golden years might look like when you say, I'm done going to work, but I'm not done working. Jimmy, before I get to what it might look like for some to continue working under the Lord, even when they quit their 9-to-5 job, did I make the biblical case that there is not a biblical argument for a particular year, or even how one makes the decision to stop working?
Yeah, I think you did. I think you made it clear. There's nowhere in the Bible that explicitly says anything about retirement or not working and earning anymore.
I think that it was just kind of assumed when you couldn't work anymore, you couldn't work anymore.
Right.
But until then, you do what you can do to contribute to the family economy. And I think that that then helps us point in a helpful direction. It might be that at the age of 65, you keep going. Because now your ministry, you don't need the money. The Lord has blessed your retirement account and you don't need the money, but you keep working. But what are you going to do with that money? Is it merely to amass, or could you be using it for ministry? There are a fair amount of people. I know some people like this. They could stop working, but they don't because they have the gift of making money. So they continue doing that even when they don't have to do that so that they can use that money to do kingdom work. So that might be an option for you when you retire. You don't. You keep going. But now your work takes on an entirely different complexion. I'm only getting up to give this money away or to spend it on eternal things, storing up treasures in heaven, which, by the way, that's what I get to preach on this weekend as we get to be in our new church building for the first time this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. If you happen to be near us, join us talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which probably should be titled Teachings on the Mount. It's a different word. He taught them earlier in Matthew. It says he preached. Sermon on the Mount, it's probably was just teaching. And he tackles the subject of money. And he talks about our attitude about cashish and stuff. And he says something interesting that I think we tend to overlook. Don't store up treasures here. Why? Moth, rust, destroy. Store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy. In other words, you can't protect your stuff, but God can. Furthermore, where you give is where your heart is. It's a fascinating sentence. Because my thinking would be, oh, when my heart is on heavenly things, I'm going to be giving to that. And I think there's truth to that. But Jesus actually says, you give and your heart's going to follow. And that's true, isn't it? Maybe, let's just, this is maybe not going to be a good illustration. Friel, you've never had one before, so let's just keep your batting average consistent. You buy a stock. Which do you watch that one more than the ones you didn't buy? Yes, you do. Why? Because your heart is there. It follows where your money is. And that's what Jesus is saying. Give and store up eternal rewards, and your heart is going to be thinking about eternal things. Giving in this sentence that Jesus offered comes first. Heart tags along with that. But let's just say that you're an individual who can retire and you desire to just call it quits for whatever reason. And by the way, if I could just say, I understand that getting to the age of 65, you could maybe be bored. I get it. But I think that that needs to be weighed in light of what is the way that I can have the greatest eternal impact with my remaining years. How can I strategically go about the business of having the biggest impact? And it might be where you say, you know what? I don't dig my job anymore. I am going to grind it out because the paycheck is so substantial. The best ministry that I can do is to give to that. Or you say, okay, I'm not nuts about my job. I'd kind of prefer to retire and just kind of be done with that. But oh, I don't have any opportunities. I don't have any particular giftings that might help in my local setting. I guess I better stay working so I can give so others can. In other words, we need to do some personal reconnaissance. We need to determine, how can I have the biggest impact? That needs to be the question that moves us forward and really directs your decision-making about retirement. What can I be doing that will most impact the kingdom? Now, what if you pull the plug on work and you choose to collect Social Security? What do you do all day? Do you maybe get to do more resting than you did? Well, I think so. If I was accurate in describing just what we kind of see teased a little bit in the Bible, that you get so old you can't really work much. Yeah, I think, why do I have this image in my brain? It goes back to the first century, and it's in a village in Israel. And the old woman, she's sitting with a basket of something in her lap where she's just like taking the peas out of the pods because she can. That was, she kept working, but it was very limited. So I think that if that is accurate, you don't have to be perhaps getting up when the birds start chirping, and you can perhaps rest a little bit more. It is even possible that between you and the Lord, you might have a bit more discretionary time to do some things. That is possible.
But
what?
You've got to be careful not to be idle.
Right.
Because, I mean, I think that goes back to something that Shapiro said in his diatribe, that people who normally retire are dead in 5 years. That's not true across the board, but that does give...
With me, it's like, no, the reason that happens is because we're supposed to be purposeful workers.
Right.
That's what we're made to do. That's what we're made in God's image. The working God crafted us to work. And when you don't have something to contribute and do, yeah, your wheels can fall off real fast. You think that playing golf all day, every day is going to keep you healthy? It doesn't, because you weren't made for constant play, even in retirement. I agree with that, but Ben just doesn't bring up the reason why. He doesn't have the underlying foundation. We're to be workers, but God does not lock us into a Social Security system. God never said, this age, no further, and then you're supposed to do that. It's always a liberty issue, specifically a heart issue. What can you be doing for the Lord? The conversation that I had on Sunday night with some dear friends about how they ministered to younger people, they would bring in young marrieds, and they would... At first, I was like, yeah, of course, this guy would do that. He's a financial guru. And so what did he talk to the younger couples about? Finances. What about insurance? Here's how much you should say. This is the ratio for a rainy day. And after I got over the, well, yeah, of course he would do that because he's a finance guy, I went, wait a second, that's really smart, because they don't know. And he does. And so it helps. And he took a lifetime of experience and downloaded it into these young people. So it can be very practical things. I just received an email from a young woman. They now have a child that they adopted. Well, they haven't adopted yet, but received at 6 weeks. They're probably going to adopt. And she was saying, everything is just flipped. My quiet time, how do I do this? I don't know. Might there be an older woman who has had a similar situation with children and figured some things out? Wah and la, you've got yourself intergenerational discipleship. You could be talking about how to raise adults, not kids, adults. You could be teaching them how to discipline. This gentle parenting thing is really not great. That was an understatement. How do you teach them biblically, young couples who might be kind of, oh, yeah, that makes sense because I didn't like the heavy hand that my parents exercised. What does the Bible say? And an older couple can be instructing them on those issues. Financial stuff, money management, roles, communication skills. And this could be done not necessarily in the context of the church. This couple actually said the best sort of discipleship they did is when they brought the couple into their home. They modeled it. Questions were asked. Guard was down. They got to know the couple. And it became a ministry. And one of the things that they did that always shocked people was they'd ask them how they could be praying for them. And then when they prayed for them, they'd send them a text saying, "We just prayed for you." And what did that teach the young couple? Oh, they pray together. They actually do what they say they're going to do. It's not just sort of a Christian throwaway line, "I'll pray for you." They actually did. Whoa. Hey, we could be doing that. All that to say, God doesn't give a specific dictate other than keep working unto the Lord till the day you die. And how that manifests itself, well, that's up to you. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. First up, some news from Dylan Mulvaney. There's a new music video out now. Now, apparently being a woman is all balled up into uncontrollable spending, breakdowns, and questionable decisions, according to this brand new music video. Some folks are calling it a sexist stereotype parade, and you know what? They ain't wrong. Come on, we know that there's much more to being a woman than what this guy's peddling. It's nothing more than creating a caricature of women, and women should be outraged. And moving to Tennessee, there's been a bit of a kerfuffle brewing about illegal immigrants, with some in the state government recommending that illegal immigrant kids get a taste of the good life on taxpayer dimes. Free college, free health care, the whole shebang. You know, I'm not real sure what goes on in other countries, and this is an honest assumption. Maybe I should have researched it before I started talking, but I just thought about it. But honestly, I'm not sure how this happens in other countries, but I would venture to say that not too many, if any at all, take care of non-citizens before their very own. But apparently, this is the new American way. Well, here's a shocker. A new poll shows that support for same-sex marriage might be dipping. That's right. The folks conducting the polls say it's because of the culture wars. But you know what I think? Maybe, just maybe, it's because some folks are not too keen on the whole confusing and sexualizing children movement. Moving to California, this isn't going to surprise you. Some parents are up in arms about a secret, yes, secret LGBTQ club that popped up in third grade. The teacher decided that he was going to start this club without mentioning it to a single soul. No permission slips, no mention in the newsletter, nothing like that. And parents are wondering why this club gets special treatment. Maybe it's because some folks just cannot resist not putting their ideological fingers in our children's faces. And this next story, it's another one that probably wouldn't surprise you. A new study suggests that daily marijuana use can significantly up your risk of heart attack and stroke. Not exactly the lines in the garbage we've been fed for so long, but it's probably time to rethink that healthy alternative label we've been slapping on the Mary Jane. And last but not least, we got to talk about West Point. America's prestigious military academy decided to give their mission statement a makeover. They ditched the classic duty, honor, and country for Army values. Now, some folks are saying it's part of the woke agenda sweeping through the military. You know what? I tend to agree. I mean, duty, honor, country, those words have always meant something. But now, Army values is good enough. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I am Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wanted to push the button, but no, this is Wretched Radio. Jimmy was going to push the button and move on to a new set of subjects, but no, you keep pulling us back in. What did you just learn that you wish you had learned, say, 10 years ago?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so my wife's father passed away recently, And one of the things that we're learning now that we're going through is the issue of probate and what to do with an estate.
That's right.
And I had no clue
right
about this stuff.
If you don't have a trust, the state says, we'll take it from here.
Right.
And they'll go about the business of being the executor of your estate. And instead of having the government do it, you can assign that to somebody if you put everything into a trust.
Right.
And it's not that difficult to do. And I suspect, Jimmy, can you do that online now?
There are several.
I figured as much.
Yep.
And what's the cost for something like that?
$200-$400, I guess, depending on how complex it is.
Complex it happens to be. And if it's more complex, then chances are that number shouldn't be too daunting. And if you're not familiar with what a trust is, just Google it. And if you're trying to make wise decisions so that you can indeed pass on an inheritance, that is something that is proverbially good, that you share something with your kid. Now, those percentages, how much goes to church, to whatever ministry you choose, to your kid, that is totally up to you. But having it in a trust keeps the government out of it. They just can't get their gloms onto it. You assign it to somebody. And if you can't find somebody in your life that you think would be fit for the task, which oftentimes can be the case, family dynamics, skill set, you've got some old wars that have never been resolved. I get all of that. But I would suggest there are two additional places you can look to find such an individual. You know, like your local church. Would there happen to be somebody there who's good at that kind of stuff? And if you approach that person to say, hey, we sure could use some help in that, would you be willing to take on that responsibility? And most likely, sorry, I'm going to just bang this gong one more time, probably somebody older. Now, it is very possible they might say, oof, that can be a really big deal. That it's just too much for me. I would love to, but I can. Okay, that's valid. You shouldn't be offended by that. But there's a pretty good chance there's somebody maybe who is, what was that word that Ben Shapiro was talking about? Oh, retired. And they know how to do those things, and they would delight in doing those things. That's what the church is about. Why is it we so overlook the church so often? Why isn't that our first thought isn't, okay, we got to find somebody to be an executor of the state, to manage the trust. Let's go through the phone. That cousin's a knucklehead. No, my sister, she'd take it all anyway. By the way, speaking of taking it all, Matthew 23, when Jesus was woeing the Pharisees and the scribes, and he said, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, for you devour widows. What was that all about? And then you go out into the marketplace to pray ostentatiously so people can see you. That warranted a woe from Jesus. Why? Because the scribes were the legal scholars of the day, and they were often entrusted with men's wills to take care of their estate. And they'd rip off the widow. They'd take her house. They were devouring widows. And then they had the gall to go out into the streets and act like they're really religious by praying. You don't want a scribe to take care of your trust. That's what I'm trying to say here. What about somebody inside of the context of your local church? Now, let's just say for whatever reason, that can't happen. A second option for you would be, this is the age we live in. If we don't think that we have it easy, it's just staggering how, yeah, I think our lives have more, especially if you're in an urban center. And by the way, perspective is really interesting to me. I actually, yesterday, flew to Tampa, Florida and back, same day. And I was talking to a young lady who had moved out of Tampa to a rural area. And she said, oh, it's so nice being out there. I said, how come? Oh, Tampa's crazy. And in my mind, I'm going, when I flew into Tampa, I'm like, oh, I'd give anything to live in a place like Tampa compared to Atlanta, where the traffic is just awful, awful. It might be awful in Tampa, but to me, it looked kind of cute by comparison. And it's terrible. So it can be a little bit of perspective, can it? When we live in this type of a setting, there can be all kinds of pressure that bears down on us that is a little bit more intense, I think, for some areas than another. And it's just a reminder that modernity brings about particular challenges and blessings. Like, you can actually go online and you can hire somebody to be the trustee of your trust that manages it. I like the financial people, like the big, like Goldman Sachs, those type, like not your area of expertise, Friel. Bingo. Charles Schwab, those types of people. They offer those services, and there's probably attorneys that even do it on a local level. So you can engage somebody to do that for you, and that would be an encouragement to do it. Jimmy,
yes.
Sorry about your wife's loss.
Yeah.
That's a drag. It's really amazing, isn't it? No matter how old a mom or dad is, and I'm not suggesting this about her dad, no matter how terrible a mom or dad is, the child still mourns.
Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't, it is so built into our DNA. It is so baked into us that anytime you lose a parent, it is a profound loss. And no matter how good or bad the dad is, in this case, good dad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and my understanding is Mrs. Hicks and her dad were quite close.
Oh, they were. Very.
Which is, you know what? She must be old enough to be bucking the current young trend of not wanting to stay close to your dad.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had to have experienced this. You talk to somebody, good believers. In fact, I was just reading an article about this and somebody was observing. Oh, I know. Oh, I didn't finish the article. I was intrigued by it because it was on a Desiring God Q&A session. The question was, how does a Christian parent deal with a child who comes out in underneath the LGBTQ umbrella? And one of the statements that I was able to get to was, hey, don't blame yourself. Do not take on the mantle of responsibility. If they are adult, whatever that year is, if they're an adult and they're making those decisions, you cannot put yourself on a hook. It's their decision. And he was even commenting that there are so many Christian parents who are experiencing this these days. And it goes hand in hand with the number of kids who are just running away from their parents. I was reading another article, and I've had 1,000 of these conversations. And it was that the kids grew up in the church doing all the stuff. And now they don't even want to talk to mom and dad. And I know we talked about this earlier this week, but I just keep coming back in large part to social media. Because if you're trying to drip truth into their bucket, the social media, the internet, they got a fire hose. And it is hard. I just read another statistic. 95% of kids have smartphones. 95% have smartphones. And I'm wondering, how do those other 5% get away with this? Because there was a documentary, a 60 Minutes documentary. It's worth looking up. I don't know how much of it you'll be able to tolerate. From Australia, showing the kids have total meltdown. I want my iPad! Want my iPad! 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 Give me iPad! You, the little terrorist, needs his electronic buzz. Otherwise, he's willing to rip mom's arms off of her body in order to get what it is that he wants, because those things are so addictive. I wonder, how are those 5% doing it? Well, I got to tell you, that is a war I am really glad at this point I don't have to wage. Because I will say this, though, mom and dad, you got to be in the battle. You just have to engage in the battle. And I know you're going to wait and you're going to go, but if I don't give them a cell phone, they're going to be really upset. Yep. If you give them a cell phone, especially with unfettered access, which most of them have because they all seem to know intuitively how to get around whatever sort of software you install on that crazy thing, they're going to get bombarded with a progressive worldview, a progressive, feminist, licentious, CRT-laden worldview. So on the one hand, you've got that. On the other hand, if you don't give it to them, what you going to do? And the answer is, I don't know, but you better do something. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land. And they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, as long as I brought up the subject, this is Wretched Radio. Everything's gotta go. And I mean everything, including parenting. What are we witnessing in 21st century Western civilization? Deconstruction of everything. Why? It's a part of CRT. It's a social Marxism that says the current structures that are in place, and all of them, everything that we see and experience, if it was here when we were born into it, it's got to go because it was invented by racist white Christian people to oppress others. And if we're going to have a utopia that socialism has never been able to actually succeed at producing, then everything's got to go. We got to get rid of everything. We got to deconstruct everything. including parenting. Why? Historically, not everybody certainly, and there have obviously been different parenting models throughout the years. Thank you, Dr. Spock. But mostly in America, it was understood that we would discipline our children while loving our children. And while loving our children, we would discipline our children. It would be a balance. Why? Because we understood that the Bible was right when it said the parent who loves disciplines. It is substantiated by the fact that our Heavenly Father disciplines us as a good, loving Father. And so we've strived to try to be obedient to those principles, to love and to nurture, bring up children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and when necessary, use the rod of discipline, because it works. And the Bible's emphatic. If you spare the rod, you don't just spoil the child. It says that you hate your child. Well, that old fuddy-duddy way of parenting has got to go, and it's been replaced by a therapeutic model of child rearing. And according to the Federalist, it ain't working. And I think we've seen that, haven't we? I know. I hear your emails already. You're going to say, but you don't understand. Some children are special needs and they act out in public. I grant you that. But there has been a proliferation of naughty children explosions in public, screaming regularly in whatever store that you happen to be in a restaurant. If you can get through a meal without the kid pitching a fit, well, it was a good meal. Expensive, I'm sure, but that would be a good meal. Why? And I think it's because of the therapeutic model, which is what everything is these days, isn't it? It's all about me and how I feel and how this makes me emote. The therapeutic model, it deconstructs that old school love and discipline model with you basically becoming a psychiatrist for your kid. Furthermore, it makes all of the children's behavior an external problem. It's not an internal issue. No siree, Bob. Everything that is hard or causes you to have a bad feeling, it's not because of what's going on inside of you. It is what is happening outside of you. From the Federalist, really helpful article about 30 years ago, university education programs, they focused on the importance of fostering an internal locus of control, that your actions, your choices, they drive outcomes. If I choose not to do my homework, my grades will suffer because of my poor decision. Today, kids learn the exact opposite. If my grades are low, it's because I have trauma. I have a learning disability, an emotional disability, an unaccommodated learning environment, an emotionally absent parent. I'm being bullied. You name it. It is outside of the child. It's never the individual's fault. We aren't fostering a sense of responsibility or what is so obvious. You reap what you sow. Actions have consequences. No, your problems are not yours. It's something or somebody else's. Somebody is to blame for your difficulties. There's a new book called Bad Therapy, Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up. That's the foundation of this article at the Federalist. It's by Abigail Schreier. It's time to admit something has gone wrong since parents were told that spankings represented profligate child abuse. Gentle parenting and trauma-informed care. Trauma's real. While we are tempted to mock this, trauma is real. But this has taken on a life of its own. They've displaced the age-old understanding children should be brought up to mind their parents, respect their elders, develop into productive citizens. The child-focused perspective on parenting insists children, they know what they need. Being happy is the ultimate culmination of a life well-lived. And this particular book cites, here's some problems with that. Here's 10 consequences of raising children that exist in their own universe for their own benefit. One, kids are taught to pay close attention to all their feelings. Happiness is supposedly the goal of therapy, but emotional suffering gets rewards. In other words, you get a lot of attention when you say that you've got a lot of trauma and stress, and Some people like that. Number whatever we're on. Worries are affirmed and accommodated instead of overcome and extinguished. We don't help kids overcome a struggle. That's what maturing is all about. We remove it, or we pad them in cotton so that they don't have any struggles. Diagnoses are bandied about like candy popped out of a Pez dispenser. You're a this, you're a that, you're a this. Again, your problem. You were just born that way. It wasn't your fault. You got it from your parents. Drugs often follow diagnoses. Young adults are encouraged to cut off toxic families. Oh, is that why that trend is going on? It's all about being therapeutic. Yep, it's all about gentle educating, gentle parenting. You're so dumb, you Christian. We got to keep this information from you because you might not agree with your kid and it could traumatize them. Therefore, we know better. We're going to protect them from you and not let you know that your kid is struggling in this area. Oof. Dependency upon treatment. It's encouraged the effects of this therapeutic model parenting. We see them in public, don't we? Child rearing in the counseling office at school and at home has swung 180 degrees from teaching responsibility to casting blame, from developing mature behavior to coddling self-centered feelings, from respecting parents' wisdom and authority to denigrating and breaking up families, from fostering resilience to fomenting victimhood. Is this maybe why we see so many families that are busted and so many kids that ghost? Because they have indeed been indoctrinated with this concept that nothing in life should be hard. And when it is, it ain't your fault. Your struggle, your disappointment, it's out there. And we'll deal with whatever the problem is out there. And of course, what are kids going to say their problem is? Mom and dad, they don't let me go to, they won't buy the, they don't let these friends hang. It's always the parents. This is the therapeutic model. Now, here's the part that I think is most disappointing. Mom and dad, even if you are parenting in the traditional way, they're being taught gentle parenting and therapeutic childhood more than whatever exposure they have to you and your biblical way of raising kids. And that's what makes this so insidious. That this is why I think so many Christian parents are looking around and saying, what happened to my kids? Well, the world got them. How do they get them? Sorry. Answer is social media, their friends, pretty much everything that they see on TV these days is promoting self. We are the autonomous society. The music is all about this. Movies are all about this. We have an angsty generation, and it is being fed by a water hole that's just like a fire hydrant pouring into our kids. So what do you do, mom and dad? Well, here's what some 20-somethings are doing. They're not having kids. That's a mistake. You're missing out on so many joys. Yeah, you're missing out on some heartaches too, but you're missing out on a truckload of joy. Don't be discouraged. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And if nothing else, it reminds us I am not responsible for the outcome of my children. Neither are you. You're responsible for being faithful. That's the goal. Just do it day in and day out, and you leave the consequences to God. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be doing everything in life? It's a reminder. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. We are in control of zip. Absolutely not, including the outcome of our children. So mom and dad, yeah, it can be a little disheartening because the kids, it somehow gets into them, and you hear the same whining and you hear the same complaining, and it doesn't mean that we're not sensitive, but it does mean we need to be faithful and we need to keep doing it God's way and we need to keep reading His word that tells us we've got to discipline / disciple our kids the same way that God disciples us, lovingly and yet when necessary with a rod. That's right. I just said spanking. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.